The latest unemployment figures reveal youth are once again bearing the brunt of rising unemployment. Stats NZ reported last week that official unemployment rose to 4.3% in the first quarter of this year. In the year to March, official unemployment rose by 31,000, with young people, 15 to 24-year-olds, two-thirds of that increase, rising by 21,000. Over the past two decades, the rate of youth not in employment, education or training, known as NEET, has fluctuated with economic tides. After experiencing relative stability in the early 2000s, the global financial crisis triggered a dramatic spike in youth out of work, the worst, in fact, since the Great Depression. With the fallout seeing NEET rates peak at 17.8% for young women and 12.6% for young men. AUT Professor of Economics Gail Pacheco spoke to us about that situation then. She's back with us now as we talk about the 3 months to the end of March and the proportion of youth not in employment, education or training sitting at 12.4%. Gail, good morning.
Good morning.
A lot of statistics here. As always, we have to remember that these are people's lives and young people's lives. We know we're in a recession. We know that employment is on the rise, although still historically comparatively moderate. But is it the case that it's often young people who pay the highest price at these times?
Yes, exactly that. And I think it's important to emphasise that context first. Given these latest unemployment stats, it's felt like the norm in the last few years in terms of numbers that we've seen, that this is a big rise. But actually, in historical labour market terms, over the past two decades, what we've experienced recently has been an extraordinarily tight labour market with labour shortages and low unemployment rates. So it's not surprising at all that we've seen this labour market loosening, along with rising interest rates and falling GDP.
It was an exceptional time though, Gail, wasn't it? In the pandemic with the borders closed, an exceptional labour market. So now perhaps it is adjusting.
That's certainly right. Every time we adjust and we have a shock, it's youth or women or minorities that generally face the biggest impact.
Can you elaborate on that? Because I think this latest data shows all three things.
I think that's true. So if you look at gender, for instance, if you look at women, women generally have higher average unemployment rates. And broadly speaking, over the last 15 years, they've had similar fluctuations at times in terms of their unemployment rates over business cycles compared to men's. But if you look at this most recent one, the numbers that came out in March, in terms of the March quarter, they had a much bigger increase in their unemployment stats relative to men. Their unemployment rose from 3.9 to 5.2, whereas men's rose from just over 3 to 4. So they definitely saw a bigger increase. And the other thing to point out there is they also saw a bigger increase in their underutilization numbers. So not just their unemployment numbers, but those who are working and would like some more work, so they're underutilised.
It's a really important point to make out of the last couple of sets of unemployment statistics. The unemployment headline rate, as I said, remains relatively moderate historically, but underutilisation is telling a different story. And it could be that you've only got a couple of hours a week of work, in work. You really want 20 or 30. That's really where a lot of the hidden, if I can put it that way, or underestimated unemployment is at the moment, Gail?
I think that's correct. Like, if you look at the women's unemployment rate, it's 5.2%, but the underutilization rate is 13.7%. So a much higher number of women that have some work but are looking for more work. And remember, this also affects the cost of living crisis in terms of, you know, sometimes needing more work. And I should point out in some research we did a year or two ago, looking at underutilization more closely, and mind you, that was based on 2020 data on underutilization. There were also a lot of people who were working full time who wanted more work. So underutilization isn't just part-time workers who want more work. Some are working long hours already and still want more work.
Why is it these groups who are so often vulnerable? Are they in more tenuous employment? They probably don't have years of redundancy that a worker would be facing. Is it often the industries that come under most pressure in a recession where these young people will be working? What are the drivers, Gail?
I think industry is certainly an important factor. And if you look at it depends on the type of shock we've had. So, for instance, women fared worse during the pandemic relative to men because hospitality and tourism was greatly impacted and their female-dominated occupations. In the current economic downturn, I suspect that and I think there's data that shows that the male-dominated industry of construction is slowing down. So I think men are going to be affected. But there's also, again, hospitality and retail trade. There's another female-dominated sector that's very cyclical, and they're usually highly impacted during a recession.
The NEET, or the Not in Employment Educational Training figure, is one that people are very focused on because these are young people. They're under 24. They're in their formative years. And if they are entirely disconnected from learning and from work, it cannot augur well in most instances. Could you talk to us about where that level is at the moment at 12.4 compared to where we've been, say, post-GFC?
As you say, it's now sitting at 12.4, which is similar to what the average has been over the last 15 years. So it's kind of risen back to that average rate. And this is, I guess, the start of where it could go. There has been times where it's been much higher. So it has peaked at, I think it was at 17% in terms of the aggregate number back post-GFC.
So actually we're at the start of something we need to be careful of. We've had that very tight labour market, abnormally tight labour market, and now that we are into a recessionary environment, we need to focus on this because that number's at risk of rising, yeah?
That's certainly true. And NEET are a particularly vulnerable group because, as you say, just to remind people that it's those not in employment, education, or training. So if you're not in any of those three sectors, then you're at the risk of being socially excluded. And that has not just short-term impacts in terms of you're missing out on employment or education. There's a lot of studies that have shown that if you're NEET for a period of time, that can have consequences later on in your career as well, where it can affect your employment trajectory in the long term.
Could we look at the ethnicity data to the extent it's telling a story out of this latest Stats NZ data, Gail?
Certainly. So unemployment is, as we know, generally higher for Māori and Pacific. They generally have greater labour market disparities. And what we've seen when there's an economic downturn, they generally fare worse relative to Europeans. But what we don't see so far is it doesn't look quite yet that Māori's employment outcomes are falling at a faster rate than Europeans. They seem to be, they're going at a similar rate to Europeans. So if I look at Europeans, their unemployment rate went from about 3 to 4, and for Māori, it went from about 7.8 to 8.9. So they're going up at a similar rate. They're both increasing at the same rate. But it does look like Pacific are bearing the brunt at the moment. So if I look at Pacific people's unemployment rate, they've gone from about 6 to over 9%, which shows that they've got the worst hit so far in terms of their unemployment stats.
Okay, so more than double the rate of the overall New Zealand figures. And the public sector cuts have had a lot of high focus on them, a lot of publicity on them. We know the private sector has been losing people as well. Unemployment's been rising there as well. But can you see any particular impact of those quite high numbers in the public sector yet on in these statistics? Could you, and is it possible to tease it out?
I had a quick look at this because I thought maybe there would be something we would see in terms of the public sector job cuts. Maybe they would be biting yet, if I, and I might. And I what I did was I compared Wellington with Auckland in terms of labour force participation and employment and unemployment stats. And it doesn't look like there's huge differences quite yet. They look like they're tracking at similar rates. So the Wellington's labor force participation rate and their employment rates, they've decreased a little bit more than Auckland's, but they've got a similar decrease in unemployment and underutilisation as well.
Some of those Auckland headquartered head offices and some of the telcos and banks and others have since late last year been having staff go. So perhaps that has balanced things out a little between Auckland and Wellington. Gail, thanks very much for your time. Go ahead.
No worries. Thank you.
Thank you, Gail Pacheco, who is AUT Professor of Economics.